right, brethren, let's turn to John chapter 3. You hear the word commandments. What do you think about? What comes to your mind when you hear the word commandments? Sadly, we're prone to immediately think of the Ten Commandments. And for that reason, and because this whole world says that believers are still under the rule of law, specifically the Ten Commandments, I want to speak to you tonight on verse 23 before we go any further. God's commandments to those who know themselves to be truly needy sinners. God's commandments to them are not the Ten Commandments, nor the 613 laws that were given at Mount Sinai. God's commandment is one commandment. It's just one commandment. And it's given effectually through God's prophet. And this is it. 1 John 3:23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. I want to speak to you on God's commandment. The commandment of God, which every believer is under, is faith in Christ and love for brethren. That's given us by God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the commandment. That's the rule. That's the law we're under, faith which worketh by love. I want to get right to this because I want to show you quite a bit here. First of all, God does not give the believer Ten Commandments or the whole of the 613 commandments that He gave at Sinai. God gives one commandment. It says here, verse 23, this is His commandment. In other places, John refers to it as commandments, plural. Here, he refers to it as commandment singular. But it's as John Gill said, they are inseparable. Where there is one, there is the other. We can't truly love one another without faith in Christ. And we cannot truly believe on Christ without love. We cannot love one another without faith in Christ. And we can't believe on Christ without love. They each are performed in union with each other and through each other. Faith and love, they're inseparable. Some have even pointed out that the word "and" could be replaced with the word "even," so that it would read this way, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, even love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, the Ten Commandments are not the commandments the believer are under. God showed us when He gave the law at Mount Sinai that He gave that law to reveal our sin and drive us to Christ. You recall God told the children of Israel, wash yourselves, sanctify yourselves. And so He gave them time and they did it. They did their best. And then God showed Himself to be unapproachably holy to any sinner that tries to come to Him by justifying or sanctifying Himself by the works of the law. God came down and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they cried out to Moses and said, Moses, you mediate for us. And you know what? God tells us what they were saying and why they did all that. He tells us what all that meant. In Hebrews 12, verse 19, he says, They that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. It means they could not bear, they could not obey that which was commanded. Look over with me to Acts chapter 15. You remember whenever those lawmongers, they came down. The Lord had sent Peter down to preach to the Gentiles, and the Lord had called them and given them a new heart, given them faith. And these men come down saying, now, except you be circumcised and keep the law, you cannot be saved. That's what these fellows came. And listen to what Peter said. Acts 15:7, it says, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that God a while ago made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And he said, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? Now listen to this. Which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Which neither our fathers nor we were able to endure. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Why did he say our fathers nor we were able to bear the law? Why did he say that? Why didn't he say, nor we, nor our fathers, nor these Gentiles have been able to bear the law? Why didn't he say that? Go back to Deuteronomy 5. And you'll want to hold your place in Deuteronomy. We're going to come back here. But look here. Most are never taught this. Most are never taught that the Ten Commandments and the whole law of Mount Sinai was only given to Moses and the children of Israel. That's all. Look here, Deuteronomy 5 in verse 2. He says here, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. That's Mount Sinai. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. Moses is saying that Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, none of them were under the law that God gave at Mount Sinai. The law was not given until 430 years after Abraham. So the further back you go, they weren't under that law. And then whenever Christ put an end to the law and he cried, it's finished, and that veil rent in two, everybody after that, Jew and Gentile, they were not under the law. They were not under that law at Sinai. And none of them walked according to that law at Sinai. What curse is it that Christ, the curse that Christ redeemed his elect from, those who lived before the law at Sinai was given, and those elect who lived after Christ redeemed us, those that did not live during that time that God had given the law. What curse was it? They didn't have that law. What curse of the law was it that Christ redeemed us from? He redeemed us from the curse of the law we broke in the garden in Adam. That's the curse we were under, the curse we broke in the garden in Adam. Those Jews that were under that Mount Sinai covenant, and a few elect Gentiles that came to believe while that law was in place, Christ redeemed them from that law as well as from that law in the garden. But you see, we were never under that law. Nobody in our day was even under that law to begin with. God's commandments, not the law at Sinai, because we'd already broken that law anyway when God gave it. We can't keep that law. Most people aren't being told what obedience to the law requires. What people will say, well, I'm thankful I've kept the law. Do you know what obedience to the Ten Commandments requires? It requires obedience in the heart, in thought, as well as in deed. Paul said, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You can have eternal life if you can do the law, all of it, in thought, even in the heart. James said, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Nobody's ever kept that law. Paul told believers, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's so even of a believer. The law can't justify and it can't sanctify. It can't justify a sinner. It can't sanctify a sinner. It can't sanctify a believer. The law can't give believers assurance or comfort or motivation. We can't go to the law and measure ourselves by the law. We can't do that. So this law is not the Ten Commandments. But here's the second thing. The law at Sinai is not God's commandment to us because God gives His commandment through His Son, Christ Jesus. Listen to this. 1 John 3, verse 23. This is God's commandment. And then look at the very end. As He, His Son Jesus Christ, gave us commandment. You see that? He says, this is God's commandment. Then He mentions faith in Christ. And He says, as He, talking about God's Son, Jesus Christ, gave us commandment. This commandment we're talking about here is delivered from God to Christ to His disciples. Go with me to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. God said this to the children of Israel through Moses. Deuteronomy 18:16. Listen to this. He said, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they've spoken. God said, you do well when we confess that we cannot obey His commandments. We do well when we confess we can't endure what He commands. We do well when we confess we need a mediator between us and God, lest we die. He said, you do well. Now look, God said, verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, Moses. And Christ is that prophet. How is Christ a prophet like Moses? He said, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Christ Jesus is that prophet. You remember Philip went found Nathanael. He was so excited. He said, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Jesus Christ. We found him. We found the one that Moses wrote about. One time I preached a message out of John 10 where it says, Christ said, I am the good shepherd. And I preached a message from there and I titled it, The Preacher Who Is God. And that got some attention. That got quite a few listens. The Preacher Who Is God. Because the word shepherd means pastor. That's what it means, pastor. And Christ is the pastor of His people. He's the prophet. Scripture says He's the shepherd, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. The shepherd is the pastor. He's the pastor and bishop of our souls. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. Christ is a prophet like Moses. God said, those children, Moses said in Deuteronomy 5:5, you don't have to turn, I'll read it. He said, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire, and you went not up to the mount. Moses said, so I stood between you and the Lord to give you the word of the Lord. That's how Christ is a prophet, like Moses. Christ stands between God and His people. He came to this earth between God and His people to give us God's commandment. Look over at John 12. And you'll want to hold your place in John. John 12. And look at what Christ said. John 12, verse 49. Christ said, I have not spoken of myself, that is, of my own words. He said, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment. That's singular, isn't it? A commandment. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Christ says, God the Father gave me a commandment, one commandment. And He said, and this one commandment is life everlasting. Now, we know that's not the Ten Commandments. I'll show you how we know that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll show you how we know that. That's not the Ten Commandments. 2 Corinthians 3. Look here. Paul said here at the end of verse 6, or look at verse 7. The ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. See that? He's saying the Ten Commandments that were wrote in stones, that's a ministration of death. He says in the verse before it, the letter killeth. But Christ said, the commandment God gave me to give to my disciples is life everlasting. So it's not the Ten Commandments, is it? That's not the Ten Commandments. It's a different commandment. God said we do well to confess that we can't obey the commandments at Sinai. We can't endure. We need a mediator. God said Christ, His prophet, gives His one commandment. Christ says His commandment's life everlasting. It's because Christ gives His people the ability to keep this commandment. What is it? What is it? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What is this commandment? God's commandment given through Christ our prophet. Look at verse 23. 1 John 3:23. Here it is. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's the commandment. That's the commandment that is life everlasting. All right, go back to John. Let's look at John 6. Verse 29. They were asking, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Everybody wants to know, what shall we do to work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. There it is. There's the commandment. John 7. John 7. Look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and He cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What did He mean by that? He that believeth on me. Come unto me and believe on me, He said. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And look what the people said, verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. This is him. This is the one Moses was talking about. They understood. Those people had some kind of understanding that when He comes, He's given a commandment that is other than the Ten Commandments. It's a commandment other than the Ten Commandments. And this is it. Believe on Christ. Look at John 13. He gives us something else. John 13 and verse 34. He says this in many places, but I'm just giving you a couple of places. John 13, 34. Christ said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Is that Christ's command or is that God the Father's command? Well, they're one. They're one. Look at John 15. After Christ gave that command, look what he said. John 15, 15. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." He said, the words I got from my Father, the commandment I received from my Father, I've made known to you. It was that faith and love. It was believe on the Son of God, Christ Jesus, and love one another. That's the one commandment that Christ has given. It's the gift of God. Now, brethren, faith, we recognize faith is the gift of God. And do you recognize love is the gift of God? This is not of us. Neither of these are of us. Faith and love are the gift of God. Christ gives those He redeemed the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart to hear Christ's command effectually. Whenever Christ was walking along and He comes to those that He's going to call to be His apostles. These men are fishermen, most of them. Peter and some of the others, they're fishermen. And they were making their living fishing. And they had their investments in boats and in nets and in all the, I mean, that was their life. That was how they made their living. And Christ said, "Follow me." They dropped everything and followed Him. Matthew was a publican sitting at the receipt of customs, a tax collector, and the tax collectors, every time they'd take one tax for Caesar, they'd take two taxes for themselves. And he's sitting there making money hand over fist, and the Lord came along and said, "Follow me." And one of the Gospels says, he left all. And then he rose up and followed Christ. He didn't move a muscle, and he left everything. And then he followed Christ. You see, when Christ speaks, when He gives the command, a man came to Him and he had a withered hand, and he couldn't do anything with this withered hand. And Christ is going to heal this withered hand. And you know how He healed it? Christ said, "Reach forth your withered hand." He couldn't. His hand had been that way all his life, and he couldn't reach it forth. But when Christ said, "Reach forth," he reached forth. Whole. Completely whole. Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. And they said, "Don't bother him. Oh, no. By now he stinks, Lord." And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." He probably didn't even speak it loud. He probably just said, "Lazarus, come forth." Here he comes, bound with grave clothes. When Christ speaks, believe on the name of His Son. You're going to believe on the name of His Son. When He says, "Love one another as I've loved you," you're going to love your brethren. What do you think it is, brethren, when you get overcome by your sin nature and you're out in this world and you get worried and troubled about tomorrow and the next day and the next day, like Rob was talking about, and you get worried about those things and you don't believe God. You're not even thinking about God. What is it that pricks you in the heart and makes you say, "What am I doing? My God is on the throne. My Savior is ruling everything." What turns you and causes you to believe on Him? He speaks just like he did the first hour he spoke. And the same is true when you're cumbered about and you're not loving your brethren. You're not even thinking about your brethren. What causes it all of a sudden to come on you and say, you know what? I want to do something for that brother. I'm going to do something for them. I'm going to go and drop off a dish at their house. I know they've been sick. I'm going to go carry them something to eat. What puts that on your heart? Christ says, love this brother. Love this sister. And you do it. And there's not any expression of love that Christ would have us to show to His people that we're not going to show. We're going to do it. Because He's going to command it. He's going to command it. Well, why do I read in the Scripture where the apostles are always telling the brethren, love one another. Be sure to love one another. Well, we need to be told that. Because we're so prone to forget it. But also, it's because it's through this gospel and through His preacher. He said in John 17, Father, just like You've given Me Your word, and I've spoken it to them, I've given them My word and sent them forth in My name. And just like He would speak, and through the Father He would be effectual in the heart of His people, so too, now, Christ sends forth His messenger, and He speaks, and Christ speaks through them. And you just hear a man say these things, but you experience the power of Christ saying it. By Christ's command, we love Christ, and therefore we obey His commandments. Believing on Him and loving our brethren. Christ said that. Let me show you John 14:23. John 14:23. Look at this. And what I'm saying is, when Christ commands you effectually, there's a new heart created. And that new heart is in love. It abides in love. Because Christ abides in you. And that new heart is love. It abides in love. The new man. And then, through Christ speaking, we obey His commandment. We believe on Him and we love our brethren. Look, John 14:23. He said, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. That's saying he's going to keep this commandment. How? My Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Don't read the second part as a result of you loving and keeping His words, although that is, He does have communion with all who love Him and keep His word, but that second part is the reason we do the first part. Because He comes to us and loves us and makes His abode with us, we love Him, and we keep His words. That's what John said in our text. Go back to 1 John 3. I'm not preaching on this, but just look at the next verse, verse 24. He says, this is His commandment. He gives it to us. And He says, verse 24, and he that keepeth His commandments, here's how he does it. He dwelleth in Christ and Christ in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He's given us. I'll preach on that next time, Lord willing. Now, what is believing on Christ? What is it? Believing is relying entirely upon Christ Himself for eternal life. Believing on Christ is relying entirely upon Him for eternal life. It's not believing a system of doctrine. It's not believing about Him, facts about Him. It's not walking a Roman road. It's not doing religious acts. Faith is casting all our care on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and relying upon Him for all things, for everything. He says that we should believe on the name of His Son. We don't believe until we rely on Him as our sovereign God. I believe Brother Todd said this. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it's true. You cannot worship a God or a Savior that is not sovereign God. You can't. If He's not sovereign, working all your salvation and working all things together for your good, you can't really worship Him. If He's dependent upon you for anything, you don't worship that kind of a being, whatever it is. You don't worship that. You worship and depend upon a sovereign God. And we don't worship Christ and believe on Him truly until we worship Him as our sovereign God. Jesus is God, our Savior. And that's the second. He says, believe on the name of His Son, Jesus. Savior, a Savior, is only a Savior who does all the saving. Believing on Him is relying on Him to do all the saving, beginning to end. To be all that we need. To be all our acceptance with God. Our Savior. And it's to believe He's our successful Savior. His name should be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from our sin. Believing on Christ, it says that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ means He's God's ordained, anointed, sent one. That's who God sent Him. And God sent Him with a mission. He sent Him to accomplish and bring in all His sons to glory. And we believe He won't lose one. He's the successful Redeemer. Of God, Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's everything. Nothing must be put between a sinner and believing on Christ. Nothing. Sinner, stop looking at whether you know enough doctrine. Stop doing that. Stop looking at whether you've got enough conviction of sin. Stop looking at you. That ain't faith. Believe on Christ. That's faith. Whatever you add to Christ, whatever you say that you need, you look, well, I just need a little more of this, and then I believe on Him. Whatever that this is, that entirely takes the place of Christ. Whatever it is. Believing is knowing Him. Knowing Him, knowing a person. That's it. And being persuaded that He is able to keep that which you've committed unto Him until that day He brings you home. That's faith. And He says, and loving one another. Loving one another is what all who are born of God do. We all do. Every born-again believer does this because God, who is love, abides in us so that we abide in love. And therefore, we love God our Father, we love Christ His Son, and we love all who are born of Him. You know, God said, I'm going to write My law on their heart, and they're going to do it. It's the law of faith and love that He writes on our heart. And we do what He commands. It's the holy commandment. Peter talked of. He talked about some that turned from the holy commandment and went back like a dog to his vomit. They turned from this commandment right here. This one commandment. Go to 1 Timothy 1. Look at this. 1 Timothy 1. And look at verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, that's love, out of a pure heart and a good conscience. That's a new creation that's been given by God. It's love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Just faith, not hypocritical faith. Faith, not pretending to have faith, real faith. Watch this. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. The moment a person starts telling believers they're back under the law, he has swerved from the commandment. He swerved from faith, which works by love. He swerved from the commandment. He's no longer walking in truth. When somebody swerved from that commandment, Paul told them in Galatians 2:14, I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. See that? When you swerve from the end of the commandment, charity out of a pure heart and a pure conscience and faith unfeigned, when you swerve from that, you're not walking according to the truth of the gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'll show you what this love is. This is not of us, brethren. This is of God. You can't muster this up. Neither can I. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, there it is, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. See, I told you, charity is at the base of this thing. It's with faith. You can't separate true faith and true charity. They're together. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Well, I thought that was love. Bestowing all your goods to feed the poor, that's what everybody in church is telling us. It ain't the love God gives. It does that, but that's not it itself. You can do all that and not have this love. This love forsakes everything for Christ and loves our brethren for Christ's sake. You don't have to necessarily like those believers who believe Christ, but you love them in Christ and for Christ's sake. I mean, you might not. There's some believers you just don't want to hang out with because you're just different. That's all there is to it. You have different personalities and you're just different. If the gospel wouldn't be involved, you wouldn't hang out with them. But you still love them for the sake of the gospel. And you defend them for the sake of the gospel, for Christ's sake. Look at this. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Doesn't walk around being all puffed up trying to act like it's somebody. Charity doesn't do that. Does not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. And charity never fails. That means when we don't have faith and we don't have hope, we're going to still have love. It's going to still be there. What about the Ten Commandments? Christ has freed us from the curse of the law. He's freed us from the covenant of the law. He's freed us from the constraint of the law. He's freed us from the commitment to the law. He's freed us from the law. When we trust Christ, we come to the end for which the law was given. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Well, what's our rule of life? Believers live by the faithfulness of Christ who lives in us, so that it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Paul said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That means Christ lives in me and He's steering me. He's ruling me. He's commanding me. After Christ fulfilled the law, the apostles didn't live as did the Jews. Whenever Peter erred, Paul said this, if thou being a Jew, now listen, if you being a Jew after the flesh, live after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Peter didn't live as did the Jews anymore. He didn't live under the law anymore. True apostles and elders wrote, you know, those that went down there and said, you got to be circumcised or you can't be saved. When the true elders and apostles at Jerusalem heard about that, they wrote, they told them, they said, you have to be circumcised and keep the law. And listen to what they wrote. They said, certain went out from us and have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And they said, we didn't tell them that. We didn't tell them to say that. You have to live under the law. Now, when lawmongers hear this, they're going to say, so then you're free to live like you want to? They always jump. They make the largest leap when they hear that. Oh, you're free to commit murder. You're free to commit adultery. Well, they always only talk about outward things. Truth is, if I could live like I wanted to, I wouldn't sin. But I see my heart sin. I see that my motives aren't true. And that's what I mourn about. That's what I mourn about. So I am living as I want to live. I want to live under grace, under the rule of Christ, being led of Him, constrained by His love. I want to live that way. Yes, I'm living as I want to live. Sure am. They cry antinomian. Listen to this. You know who the true antinomian is? The one who tries to send you back to law. They're unruly. They don't want to be under the rule of Christ. Listen to this. Paul said, there are many unruly. That's somebody that's anti-law. He's unruly. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That's those that want to tell you to cut out this and cut out that, cut out the other thing, cut out this, and if you don't act right, they'll cut you out. Lawmongers. But listen to this too now, believer. You that believe the gospel, don't strive with lawmongers about the gospel. Paul said this, avoid foolish questions and genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain. A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject him, knowing that he that is such is subverted. That's what Paul said circumcisers do. They subvert whole houses. And if a man's telling you you've got to be under the law, he's subverted and is and sinneth, being condemned of himself by his own word. Believing on Christ, we unite with our brethren under the gospel of Christ, and we do whatever is necessary to help our brethren, and that's loving our brethren. Now go over with me to Galatians 6. God the Father said, if a man doesn't hear the word of Christ my Son, if he doesn't hear the word of this prophet, he said, I'm going to require it of him. So be sure you hearken now. I'm telling you the word of Christ the prophet. The commandment we're under is believe on Christ and love one another. That's it. Now listen to what Paul said. But God forbid, 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, neither uncircumcision. It doesn't matter if you're under the law or not under the law. Here's what matters. Being made a new creature. A new creation. That's what I've been talking about. How all this starts. Christ creating you anew. And as many as walk according to this rule, that's the rule we're under, faith which works by love, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. That's the rule we're under. I pray God make us hear Him now. Amen.